Thank God. Well, last week we talked about all things are possible. That all things are possible. And we read some scripture along those lines, and we're going to pick up there. And if you didn't hear that, I just encourage you to download it off the website and listen to it, because it will be a blessing. But let's turn to Mark 9, verse 14. Thank you, Lord. Mark 9, 14. We're going to read this verse that we read last week, and then we're going to go in a little bit different direction, but I thought we'd start here. Mark 9, verse 14. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately, when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, am I in the right place? Yes. What are you discussing with them? Then one of the crowd answered and said, Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him unto me. Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out and convulsed him greatly and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. So we see here this man bringing his son, who has been tormented, been convulsing and had these seizures and everything, and it's been going on since he was a child. And he brought him unto Jesus and basically said, if you can do anything, please, if you can do anything, please help us. And Jesus looked at him and said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. In other words, it's not a matter if I can. It's a matter of, can you believe? If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And so the boy was healed. And I want you to notice down in verse 26, it says, then, just on a side note, the spirit cried out and convulsed him greatly and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, he is dead. Now, that's an example, and there's many of these in the Bible, of an example of somebody, what we would say, falling out of the spirit, in the spirit, or the power of God. Basically, the power of God just overwhelmed his body, and he just fell out. And it says he became as one dead. Well, he was on the ground, and they were like, I mean, he's just out. And they're shaking him, and he looks like he's dead, but he's alive. And that's in the Bible. Now, yes, people have done weird stuff. People have, sometimes people, they think they're supposed to do that. So they, you know, when they're prayed for, they'll just fall back, and it's a good thing that there's people behind them, because otherwise it would hurt. They can get hurt. And I, basically, I've heard of people, you know, falling through chairs like this and not a scratch on them. I personally, when I was in the Philippines in 2005, I went there on a missions trip, and we were holding meetings in this, it was kind of like a rec center, but it was open. It had a concrete floor. And it had a partial ceiling, but, you know, it had big,
if it would be like in this building, if all these windows, they were just all open and it had like steel beams and then some stuff went over. But, you know, this was all open air. So it had a cover. So if it rained, you weren't going to get rained on, but the air, the wind would blow through it. And it was concrete. So you could do different things in there. You could hold meetings like we did. We put a stage up there in the front, and we were getting a church started. Over 10 weeks, they had been ministering to the people in the community, and so they were having these crusades and healing crusades for people to come and to get this church launched. But anyhow, after the third day, the next morning, they had a service for people to get filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke on the Holy Spirit, whoever the speaker was, and then they invited people to come get filled with the Holy Spirit. And we were standing around, and people had their hands up, received the Holy Spirit, and people just fell over onto the concrete. And they weren't hurt. Now, if you do that on yourself, I mean, if you just fall back with your head on the concrete, you could get hurt. But when the Holy Spirit does it, He's not going to hurt somebody. But the people that got worried about getting hurt are the people that are doing it themselves. If you're thinking, oh, I'm just going to fall, those are the people that sometimes get hurt. But it is real, and it is biblical, and all it is that the power of God, and I've been around it. I've been around, I will tell you, there was one time, I mean, multiple times, and people have prayed, you know, I've been prayed for and things, but there was a time Pastor Hagin and Mrs. Hagin were ministering, and they came into the crowd. This was an evening service in Winter Bible Seminar, probably around 2004, and they come into the crowd, and they were laying hands on people. And if you've ever seen that happen, you just see people slump in their chair or whatever. I can tell you, when they started getting close to me, and I was sitting, or maybe I can't remember if I was sitting or standing there, and Shelly was with me. It was like my knees started getting weak, just like almost a tingling. You could sense the power of God coming with them as it came near, just down the aisle. And you know, I'm not even being prayed for. I'm not making this up. I'm completely, you know, fully conscious. And when they came around, you could just sense the power of God on them. And it just started making you just want to droop. And you can fight that. God, and like, so when somebody, when you get hands laid on you, and if you sense that anointing and just want to do, you can stay up. God's not going to knock you over. I mean, if you sit there and resist it and say, no, I'm not going down, you know, you can stay there. Now, there's times when people don't even know what hit them. They're on the floor. But, I mean, if you're conscious, well, am I going to fall out? Am I not going to fall out? And you're sitting there embracing yourself. God's a gentleman. He's not going to knock you over. But if you can sense that, that means the power of God is flowing into you. Just receive it. Just say, God, I want it. And if you fall out, if you fall to where you go down, that's fine. But just receive. Don't put the brakes on. Just receive and let it flow into you. And I've seen that multiple times. And because I was always of the mind, you know, I was raised in charismatic churches, Word of Faith churches. So I had seen this since I was a child. And I'd seen people fall for it. And I was like, you know, almost like, well, I'm not going to do that fake. So God's going to, I mean, if it's real, it's real. And that's fine. I mean, I would never resist it. Don't get into my, well, God's going to have to knock me over. Don't do that. Just receive. Just be ready to receive. And, you know, a lot of times what we'll do right now, where we're at, is we'll just have people sit. So then if you fall, I mean, then if you go out, you're already sitting. But anyhow, that's just one example, and there are other examples in the Bible. It says, you know, when somebody falls out as a dead, that's what that is. You know, the power of God just overwhelmed their body. Anyhow, verse 23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. So we preached a whole sermon on this last week, and I encourage you to listen to that if you didn't. But there is nothing that's impossible to God. Nothing. All things are possible to him who believes. All things. All things. All. There's nothing that isn't. There's nothing accepted from that. It doesn't mean that there's some things that are, some things that aren't. No, all things are possible according to his word. Him who believes. Him who believes what? The word. So that, in other words, you know, you say, well, I'll just believe that I can fly. Well, did God tell you you could fly? No. So then what are you going to believe? Well, I just choose to believe that. Well, we've talked about that. What's faith? It's being fully persuaded of something. And I have that definition down. You know, we've read this several times, but it doesn't hurt to go over just to really get it into us. The definition of faith, just from the concordance, Strong's Concordance means primarily firm persuasion. Firm persuasion. It's a conviction based upon hearing. A conviction based upon hearing. So to be in faith, I need to have a conviction based on hearing. That means if I didn't hear it, that I can't believe it. If I didn't hear it, if I didn't read it, with what God has said or heard the word of God, I can't be convicted. I can't be firmly persuaded of something. So if God didn't tell me that I could fly, you know, without an airplane or something, then I have no doubt we will be able to fly, you know, someday in our renewed bodies or whatever. I don't think that's probably going to be a problem. Jesus came. When he came back, he would just walk through walls. You know, he was outside the building, and then all of a sudden, he was in the building, and he's saying, peace be with you. So I don't think the laws of physics on this earth really apply to our new bodies. But God didn't tell us we could fly, so we don't, you know, stuff like that, we can't just believe. So anything that God tells us, though, we can believe, and then all things are possible to him who believes. Let me read some of these other things. A firm conviction, producing a full acknowledgement of God's revelation or truth. And so it means to be assured, to be fully persuaded of whatever God has said. So all things are possible to him who believes. Let's turn over to 1 John 5, read a scripture there, and then we're going to go in a little bit different direction, build on this though. 1 John 5. First John 5, verse 14. It says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Now let's go through that again. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, that means we've heard his will, we've read his will. If we ask him anything according to his will, then he hears us. And verse 15, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. We know that we have them. So if we know what his will is, and we ask him according to his will, then we know he's heard that. And if we know that he's heard it, then we know that we have the petition. So whatever we asked of him that's according to his will, we have it. That's faith. So if we're firmly persuaded that what he says we can have and we ask him, then we know that we'll have whatever we've asked. And so that goes along with what we just read in the other scripture, that all things are possible to him that believes. If we'll believe, and this goes into asking, but if we'll believe that what he said is the case, then we can have whatever we believe. And we can ask and receive. The Bible flat out says that we receive whatever we've asked of him. So, and that's a principle throughout the Word. That's basically being firmly persuaded that what he said, he'll do, and if we ask him, we'll get it. So the thing that I really want to focus on tonight is that when we go back and look at all things are possible to him who believes, I want us to go through and just look at some scriptures that Jesus, when he was healing people, he healed them all, many times. And throughout the Word, before Jesus, the accounts of Jesus, and after, that there were many times when people were present and all of them were healed. If just some of them were healed, you know, all the time it was like, well, just this one and just that one. But when people, that would be one thing. But when people came to him, they were all healed over and over. And so what I want us to see is when we're stepping out in faith, faith is firm persuasion. So one aspect of being firmly persuaded when it's concerning healing, and this goes for everything, but we have to know what God has said. Like what we just said. If we know what he said, then we can believe. Well, some people say that, well, it's, we don't know if it's God's will to heal. We know that he could, but we just don't know if he's willing to heal everybody. And one aspect of that is if we look, when we look at the Word, we'll see over and over that when people came to him, Jesus healed them all. So if we know he healed us all, he healed all the people, and we see that it's his will to heal us all, then we can come to him in faith and believe that it's his will to heal me. And if you see it over and over, that he healed them all regardless of what they had. So not only did he heal all the people, but basically anything they came with, he healed it. So when we look at, and that's why I wanted to segue from all things are possible to him who believes, all things are possible. If we know that it's his will to heal us, and we know that he can do all things, that nothing is impossible to him, that it doesn't matter what the name of the illness is or what the name of the sickness is, that he has already taken care of it, then we can come boldly, firmly persuaded that when I believe him for healing, when I come and believe it's his will, and just like we read in 1 John, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have whatever we've asked. And we can be confident. So tonight, I'm just going to take some time and we're going to go through, and this is one aspect, but we'll see that over and over the Bible says all sickness. They all were healed. That every sickness. It says that over and over, and just build our faith along those lines. Let's start over in the Old Testament for a few scriptures. Let's start in Deuteronomy 7. Deuteronomy 7, verse 14. It says, "You shall be blessed." Now, he's speaking to the Israelites, and these are the blessings if they'll obey what God has said. Well, as Christians, the Bible says that we are children of Abraham. We're children of Abraham. Over in Galatians, if you want to look it up later, Galatians 3, verse 20. Actually, let's just go there. We have time. Do you have time? Let's go over to Galatians real quick. Hold your finger in Deuteronomy. So Galatians 3, let's read verse 13. Galatians 3, verse 13. It says, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree,' that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Verse 14, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now skip down to verse 29. Actually, verse 26. "For you all are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek,
nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus, and if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. See, if you're Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So those promises, the same things that were promises under the covenant, the old covenant, and under the blessing of Abraham, are ours in Christ Jesus. Now hold your finger there, and let's go over to Romans. A few books back to Romans. Let's go to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verse 25, or actually verse 28. Romans chapter 2, verse 28. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. See, verse 29, he is a Jew who is one inwardly. So we've been changed on the inward man. So we are children of Abraham through Christ Jesus, because Christ Jesus was Abraham's seed, and we're heirs of Christ. We're heirs now through Jesus, through faith, we're heirs of Abraham. So when we see these promises that were made to Abraham and to his seed, we can be included in that. So when you see something in the Old Covenant and certain things that were promised to Israel, now there are certain things that were promised just to Israel as a nation, but things like this that talk about things that are in the covenant and things that you can see in the New Covenant as well, they apply. Because we can see, especially with things like with healing, that's all throughout the New Covenant as well. But let's go back to Deuteronomy. I don't think we're going to get too far into this thing. We'll just go a little bit different direction tonight. We'll go ahead and get started at least, read a few of these scriptures. So Deuteronomy 7, verse 14 and 15. Let's just go up to verse 12. So it says, then it shall come to pass, because you listen to these judgments and keep them and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the mercy which he swore to your fathers, and he will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, your grain and your new wine and your oil, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flock, in the land which he swore to your fathers to give you. Verse 14, you shall be blessed above all peoples. There shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your livestock, and the Lord will take away from you all sickness. The Lord will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you. But I want you to notice, the Lord will take away from you all sickness. He will take away from you all sickness. Let's go over to, I think we'll just go with the time we have remaining, just go in a little bit different direction. Maybe we'll get to the all next week. But let's go to Exodus 23, 25. Back a couple books. Exodus 23. Exodus 23 and 25. Exodus 23, verse 25. It says, so you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. But verse 25, so you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. I will take sickness away from the midst of you. Does that sound like all? All sickness away from the midst of you. That's a good thing to pray. The beginning of that says, he will bless your bread and your water when you sit down to eat a meal. Sometimes we do that. Just thank God. This is a great verse, that he will bless our bread and our water. I just say, thank you, Lord, that you said you would bless our bread and our water, and you will take sickness away from the midst of you. Isn't that awesome? Away from the midst of you. It's not even known in your midst. Your family, you don't even know it. It's not even in your midst. There's no sickness in our midst. Take sickness away from the midst of you. That's a good thing just to declare. When you sit down at your meal and you eat several meals a day, just to say, thank God that you blessed our bread and our water. We bless it and sanctify, and we thank you that you promised to take sickness away from our midst. And thank him. You do that several times a day, that just gets it inside. You say that, you know, 2-3 times a day, pretty soon you just get a mindset that sickness is not in our midst. There is no sickness in our midst. Let's go over to Psalm 91. We'll just stay on this vein. Psalm 91. Thank you, Lord. Let's just go ahead and read it. Let's just read Psalm 91. I think that'd be good. So one certain place I want to emphasize, but this is good. I think we ought to just, let's just read through it. Psalm 91, verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only look with your eyes shall you look. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Just stop right there. Look at the things he's been saying. Verse 5, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Those are a lot of things. We don't have to be scared. We don't have to be afraid. The terror by night, we don't have to be afraid of these things. Pestilence, arrow that flies by day, or gunfire, anything, we don't have to be scared. Verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side. 1,000 people could fall at your side. 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. In this day and age that we live in, we have God's promise that he'll protect us, that no matter what happens around us, we are protected. We're protected. Verse 9, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you. No evil shall befall you. No evil. No evil shall befall you. And let's look at the next part of that verse. Nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. That's the verse we turned here for. Nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. That's a promise of God.
And we just read that he would take sickness away from the midst of you. It says, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Notice verse 15, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Even if things try to attack us, even if they come, he is with us and he will deliver us. Thank God. He will deliver us. So we have, this is an awesome chapter. That no plague shall come near our dwelling, that 1,000 may fall at our side, 10,000 at our right hand, that we will not be afraid of the terror of night. If there's a time when things are fear's trying to grip you, fear's trying to push at you, to go back and just look over these and just declare what God has said in our life. Say, no, this is what God said. And like we just read, this applies to us. We are children of Almighty God. This may be in the Old Testament written as a psalm, but it applies to us as children of God. Verse 1 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Thank you, Lord. So we can just rest in him. We can just be completely confident that if we're just under his wings, if we're dwelling with him, that we're going to be protected, that we're going to be taken care of, that no sickness has any power to stay in our midst, that nothing can take us down. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Let's go over and we'll close with just wanted to read one more scripture out of Deuteronomy. Go back to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 28:61. Deuteronomy 28:61. These are all the curses of the law, the curses of disobeying God, but we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. We just read it in Galatians, and we'll turn back there in just a minute, Galatians 3, even though we just read it, but I want you to see that. But these are all the scriptures. God, why don't you go ahead and just hold your finger in Deuteronomy. Let's just find the scripture in Galatians 3 real quick. Let's read there in Galatians and we'll go back to Deuteronomy. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. And then we read this just a minute ago. For it is written, curses everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So Jesus took the curse of the law. He became a curse for us so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us. So verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now hold your finger in there. We may go back just in case we have to go back. But in Deuteronomy 28, all these, if you read Deuteronomy 28, from 15 on, for the first 14 verses are the blessings of the law, and from 15 on are curses of disobedience. So if you want to see all the things that you're redeemed from, just go and read Deuteronomy. 28. All the things that you're redeemed from, the things that don't have any power in your life. And so it goes through, and there's all these sicknesses and disease. If you start in verse 15, it says, "But it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments and keep his statutes, which I command you today, that these curses will come upon you and overtake you." Verse 16, "Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl." And it goes on and on. But if you go back and read, just for a second, go and read Deuteronomy 28, verse 2. It says, "All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country, and blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle." It goes on and talks about the blessings there. And then starting in verse 15, it's like you see a lot of these things flipped. If you don't obey God, all these curses are going to come upon you. Well, the good news for us is that Jesus came so that we might have these blessings, and that he took the curse for us. So these curses, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. So when you see these things, you can say, I've been redeemed from that. So what I wanted to get to is, if you go to verse 60 even, Deuteronomy 28, verse 60, "Moreover, he will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt, of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you." Verse 61, "And also every sickness and every plague, which is not written in this book of the law, will the Lord bring upon you until you are destroyed." Now, don't get caught up on "the Lord will bring." There are things, and we're not going to go into that tonight, that can be translated different ways. But we are under a new covenant. We're in the age of grace. And you don't have to worry about it. You're not the enemy of God. So regardless, however you look upon that, you don't have to worry about the God Almighty putting anything on you. Jesus never put sickness on anybody. He just healed people. And Jesus is the will of the Father in action. And we're not going to go into all those things. But don't get hung up on any side issue tonight. The point I want you to see in verse 61 is, "Also every sickness and every plague which is not written in this book of the law, the Lord will bring or permit to be brought upon you until you are destroyed." So the thing I want you to notice is that it says, so there's a lot of sickness and disease that are listed in this book. But he also says, "And every sickness and every disease that is not listed, that's going to come on you." Well, there's a lot of things that aren't listed in here that we have today. Cancer is not listed in there. AIDS isn't listed in there. All these different diseases we have, modern diseases, they're not listed in here. But we've been redeemed. So every sickness and every disease that isn't listed in here, those would be brought on you. But we've been redeemed from every sickness, not only the ones that are listed here, but also every disease that's not listed in here. In other words, every sickness and disease we've been redeemed from. There isn't anything that's included or that's excluded from that. So it doesn't matter what our problem is. It doesn't matter what the thing that may attack us. We're redeemed from it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Completely. Thank you, Lord. Well, I think that's good. I think maybe we'll pick up the other scriptures on all next week, but we just went in a little bit different direction several ways, and I believe it was good. Well, let's just pray.